Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this chance to come out of the office on a busy day. We pray that you would clear our minds of all the emails and the stresses and the pressures of the workplace. We pray that you would enable us to listen to things of far greater importance, ultimately, of eternal importance, to listen to the voice of our Creator. We pray that you'd help us to do that now. Pray that you would strengthen us, encourage us, and draw us to Christ. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Romans chapter 1, verses 8 to 15. Romans chapter 1, verses 8 to 15. It's on page 939. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you who are also in Rome. Brian.
Thanks, Phil. My name is Brian and I work here at the Aldersgate Talks. May I add my welcome to Phil? It's just lovely to see you here. So today's question is, why should we bother reading Paul's letter to the Romans? You'll be able to see the outline to the talk on your handouts. Why should we bother reading Paul's letter to the Romans? Some of us may be thinking, come on, Brian, I've read Romans lots and lots of times before. What's the point of reading it again? Others of us may be thinking, I've got lots of other things on my mind at the moment. Work deadlines, costs of living crisis, family issues. Why should I bother to invest time studying Romans at these lunchtime talks? Well, Paul's letter to the Romans has had a massive impact in history. It has transformed countless lives around the world down the ages. The Protestant reformer Martin Luther was converted by reading it, and he then sparked off a massive religious revolution in Europe and around the world. The Methodist preacher John Wesley had his heart strangely warmed as he read Luther's introduction to Paul's letter to the Romans. And thousands of missionaries have taken the gospel to foreign lands after reading this letter. And many have died in so doing. And yet, God has caused this gospel of Jesus Christ that Paul writes about to reap such an abundant harvest that billions of people around the world now call themselves believers in Jesus Christ, including our late Queen. So I hope you agree with me that understanding why we should read Romans is an important question, because it could have life-transforming consequences. The letter of Romans is a potentially game-changing letter. So let's have a look at the reasons why Paul gives, Paul gives to read his letter. Paul gives us three reasons. Let's go through them in turn. Reason one, we should read this letter because Paul wants to affirm our faith. Paul wants to affirm our faith. Let me read verse 8 again. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. Paul wants to affirm the faith of the Romans. He thanks God that they are real Christians. Their faith is widely known around the world. And I think Paul would say the same to us today. We are a gathering of people who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord. Now, if you're looking into Christian things, of course, you're very welcome amongst us. I'm so glad you could join us today, and I hope you'll be back with us again. But it's fair to say that most of us here are believers in Jesus Christ. And Paul thanks God for us because our faith is known around the world. And in fact, there was a recent newspaper article in America that mentions the Aldersgate talks and our faith in Jesus Christ. You can ask me to send that to you if you'd like to read it. But in summary, Paul wants us to read Romans so that our faith in Jesus Christ can be affirmed. Paul wants to affirm our faith. But that's not it. Paul doesn't just want to affirm our faith. He goes further than that. He gives us a second reason why we should read Romans. As that's our second point. Paul wants to strengthen us with the gospel. Let me read verses 11 and 12 again. Look down at me. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Verse 11 is saying that Paul wants to strengthen the Romans with his gift. What is this gift? Well, given that Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ, I think it's safe to assume that his gift is referring to his preaching of the gospel. So, in other words, Paul wants to preach the gospel to the Romans so that they may be strengthened by it. And he's already started to do this. Remember last week, in the opening verses of the letter, Paul outlines what the gospel is. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the King. And by doing so, he is strengthening their convictions in the gospel that Jesus Christ really is Lord. And this idea of strengthening comes up again right at the end of the letter. In chapter 16, verse 25, he says, "Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ." And so the fact that Paul begins and ends his letter to the Romans with this idea of strengthening seems to say that strengthening is his aim for the Romans. He wants to strengthen the Romans with his gospel. And this gospel is set forth in the rest of the letter. But Paul doesn't just want this to be a one-way thing. He says in verse 12, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Paul talks about mutual encouragement. That is to say that he wants this encouragement to be a two-way process. He wants to encourage the Romans with the gospel, and he wants the Romans to encourage him as well. It's a two-way thing. And if Paul were alive today, if he were amongst us, he would want us to do the same. He would want us to read his letter and to be strengthened by the gospel. He expects us to grow in our convictions that Jesus is Lord and to become more confident in the implications of Jesus' death and resurrection. So what that means is that we should keep reading Romans. We should read Romans. Do come back next week to hear more from this letter. And over the course of the year, we will unpack more of this letter as we go through it together, and we can look forward to being strengthened together in the gospel. Why does Paul want us to read Romans? Well, because he wants us to be strengthened. He wants our faith to grow as a result of reading this letter. The surprise is that the gospel isn't just for us to become Christians, but it's also for Christians to keep going as Christians. You see, Paul expects our faith to grow as we read his letter, as we read and think about his words, as we digest its meaning. And so let's pray for this to happen as we go through this letter together in the coming months. And Paul wants us to encourage, what he wants, mutual encouragement. He wanted the Romans to encourage him in the gospel. And of course, for us, we can't actually encourage Paul because he's no longer around. But what we can do is to encourage each other. There are so many ways to do this. We can remind each other of the gospel here at the lunchtime talks. Or I know there are groups of Christians that meet together in your offices. As you go back to your offices, well, you can meet up to encourage each other with the gospel. You can pray together and remind each other of the gospel. We can also do this at our weekly Bible studies, which Phil mentioned earlier. They're called Thirsty for God. We meet up to study the Bible together and to encourage each other to keep living for Jesus. We can also meet up more informally. So, you know, find a friend, go for a coffee, and just share what you've been struck by from God's word recently. These are just some examples of mutual encouragement that I can think of. I'm sure there'll be others. I personally have benefited hugely from being part of a small group Bible study over the years, and I'd highly recommend that if you aren't in one, to join a Bible study group for yourself. And as Phil said, we run these Bible studies here at the Aldersgate Talks called Thirsty for God, and you can have a look at the flyers on your tables. They'll have more information about them. You'd be very welcome to join us on Thursdays so we can encourage each other as we go through the Bible. And do talk to Phil, Julia, or myself if you'd like to find out more. So, we've seen that Paul wants to affirm our faith, number one, and number two, to strengthen us in the gospel. But he doesn't end there. There's a third reason for us to read his letter to the Romans. That's our third point. Paul wants to reap a gospel harvest among us. So Paul is expecting something even bigger to result from reading his letter than just affirmation and strengthening. Let me read verse 13. I want you to know, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. And so the third reason is this. Paul wants to reap a harvest among the Romans. What does this actually mean? Reaping a harvest. What does it actually mean? Well, I think it most likely includes growing in the gospel within the Roman church. So things like living lives of worship in response to the gospel, loving one another more, using our gifts to serve each other. These are all things that Paul goes on to talk about in chapters 12 to 16. So I think Paul definitely means growing together in the gospel. But I do think there's something more than this. Because Paul uses the word harvest. And this is the word that is loaded with meaning in the Bible. To unpack this further, I think we need to consider the context in which Paul was writing. We know from Romans 15, chapter 15, verse 23, that Paul is done with church planting in the eastern Mediterranean. He's established lots of different churches. And these churches can now get on with preaching the gospel. So his work of pioneering new churches is done. And so his sights have now turned to the western half of the Med. This part of the world hasn't yet heard the gospel. We know from Romans 15 that Paul wants to go to Spain and take the gospel there to people who haven't yet heard it. And he wants the Romans to back him, to support him financially, as he makes his way there. And because of Rome's central location in the Mediterranean, a slap bang in the middle, it is an ideal staging post for his mission trip to Spain. And so going back to our question, what does Paul mean by reaping a harvest among the Romans? Well, I think he means that the Romans should back him on his mission trip to Spain, and to pay for his expenses, to pray for his trip. And as a result, this will result in a gospel harvest. Many Spanish people will hear the gospel through Paul's proclamation, and they will believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and be saved. And I think this is supported by the fact that Paul says he's under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish, in chapter 1, verse 14. So I think this is what he's saying. The gospel has already been preached in the Greek-speaking eastern half of the Mediterranean, and now is the time to preach the gospel to the western half of the Med. These would be people whom the Greeks would have considered foolish barbarians. Now is their turn to hear the gospel, and Paul wants the Romans to back his mission trip to Spain. And so I think Paul has something bigger in mind than just gospel growth within the Roman church. Of course, he does mean that, but I think he means something bigger in mind. He wants the Romans to be gospel harvesters, to provide the seed capital for a rich harvest of new believers in Spain. And I think this is a really exciting venture. Now imagine that if you were a friend of Steve Jobs when he founded Apple back in 1976, because you were his friend and he needed to raise some cash, he offered you some shares in his company. And then you, because you were his friend, you want to support him, you pay money to buy these shares in Apple. And then fast forward 46 years to this day, you'd be reaping a harvest of billions of dollars, wouldn't you? Apple is now worth something like $60 billion. You would be making a huge profit. And I think this helps us to understand what Paul meant by reaping a harvest among the Romans. Obviously for them, the harvest isn't a monetary one, but rather it's a harvest of people brought from spiritual death to life through Paul's proclamation of the gospel. It's so exciting. And Paul writes his letter to the Romans to reap a harvest among them. He wants them to both grow in gospel maturity, but also to back his mission trip to Spain. And he wants the same for us. He wants us to grow in our confidence in the gospel, to become more obedient in the gospel. But he also wants us to be to support worldwide gospel proclamation. Paul is obviously no longer around, so we can't support his trip, but there are so many other missionaries today who are taking the gospel to places that have never heard it preached before. So how exciting that we too can provide the seed capital for an abundant harvest among the nations, that people can hear the gospel for the first time and repent and believe in it and be brought from death to life. Isn't that exciting? So, why does Paul want us to read his letter to the Romans? Three reasons. One, Paul wants to affirm our faith. Two, he wants to strengthen us with the gospel. Three, he wants to reap a gospel harvest among us. And I don't think these three are mutually exclusive. It's not like, you know, they're all independent from each other. I think that reason one leads to reason two, which leads to reason three. So affirmation leads to strengthening, and strengthening then leads to a gospel harvest. As the Romans are affirmed in their faith, they can then be strengthened by the gospel, and as they are strengthened by the gospel, that will then produce an abundant harvest among them as they back Paul's mission trip to Spain. Now, if you are a Christian today, do you want to reap a gospel harvest? Well, I trust the answer is yes. Well, know that the Apostle Paul wants the same for us, for you too. So read his letter to the Romans. As you do so, you will be affirmed, you will be strengthened, and you will reap a gospel harvest. You will grow in your desire to back the proclamation of the gospel to the ends of the earth so that people can be saved. As I mentioned at the start, some of us will be thinking, come on, Brian, I've read Romans lots of times before, I know it really well, why do I want to read it again? Well, I would suggest that all of us are works in progress. There will still be room for us to grow. And Paul's expectation is that the preaching of the gospel will affirm and strengthen us and reap a gospel harvest. And so it is worth reading it again. Let's work hard together at understanding this letter. Because if Paul really is right, then our efforts won't be in vain. They will bear fruit. Let's pray that God would so grip us with the gospel that we would reap an abundant harvest in the years to come. That there will be people on the last day trusting in Jesus Christ because of our harvest. And for those of us who aren't Christians, who wouldn't call ourselves Christians, well, I hope you found today's session helpful. I hope you have a better understanding of why we should read this letter to the Romans. It's not just an ancient text that was written 2,000 years ago with no relevance to us today, because it is actually really powerful. It could create life-changing, it could bring about life-changing consequences to us. And I hope it's whetted your appetite for more. Paul's letter to the Romans has transformed countless lives around the globe down the ages. Billions of people around the world profess to be believers in Jesus Christ because of this gospel that Paul writes about. This includes our late queen, who was so confident in her faith in Jesus Christ. And who knows? As you read the gospel, you may well be gripped by it yourself too. So do come back next week for more. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for Paul's letter to the Romans. Thank you that it really is life-changing, that we can see the evidence of that in history. We can, as we look around the world, so many people have believed in this gospel of Jesus Christ, and there is so much fruit that is a result of this letter, of this gospel. And Father, we pray that you would transform us as we read it. Please strengthen our faith, grow us in our convictions that Jesus Christ is Lord, and help us to reap a harvest among the nations. Help us to want to back the proclamation of the gospel to the ends of the earth so that others may hear the gospel and be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul talks a lot about wanting to see them in person. But it's my thinking that because he can't visit them as yet, he's written this letter to them instead. Yeah, I think that is what I think. So he still has some other business to attend to. He has to go back to Jerusalem. We read of that in chapter 15, I think. And he can't quite come to Rome yet. So instead, he's writing this letter to them so that when he does visit them in person, they'll be ready for his visit. They'll already be on board with his mission trip to Spain, and they'll be willing to support him on his journey to Spain. Yeah. And Paul is writing to the Romans, not to us. But I've So how should we then think about this in terms of the relevance to us? Yeah, is that fair? Yeah. I think it's primarily written to the Romans, but I think also it has implications for us as well, because we are also Christians, living before Jesus has returned, and so the gospel still needs to go out to the ends of the earth, and so we should still be strengthened in the gospel to keep living for Jesus ourselves, and we should also be seeking to back gospel proclamation to the ends of the earth. Yeah, so I think it's just, even though we are 2,000 years apart, the letter has the same lessons for us. Yeah. Yes, Julia.
What do you think?
Thanks. The question is, what would happen if Christians were never strengthened by the gospel? Well, I think that would, that the opposite of strengthened is like weakened, right? So I think you'd have Christians who would be weak in their faith. They would be wobbly. They would, be tempted to give up all the time. They would really struggle in their fight against sin. They would, just not be very distinctive and godly in their living. Yeah. So it'd be that would be some of the consequences of not being strengthened by the gospel. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and also I guess the third point is true as well, isn't it? That they wouldn't really be concerned about, worldwide gospel proclamation. They'd just be concerned about their own, how they're doing, and they'd be like quite sort of inward looking rather than outward looking. Paul really wants them to be outward looking, to be thinking about, people who haven't yet heard the gospel and how they might come to hear it and believe in it themselves.